And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Nuka, papanuka.com in Columbus, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com in Forestville, California, and Contraman Ali of contramanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers, Candelo Cambisa of Cambisa.org in West Palm Beach, Florida, bringing us today's topic on Espiritismo Tricks and to Return and Find a Lover. Afterwards, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Ms. Kat and Contraman Ali. Ms. Kat?
Hi, thank you, Papa Newt. Well, today has been a nice hot day of hard work down on the old Lucky Mojo farm. I want to give a big thank you to Nagashiva for keeping the trains running today while our dear train engineer Jenna was out. And big thank you to Alicia for keeping the lab going. And King and Leslie Lowell for working in the shop, and Yose and Salita down at the church. We have a skeleton crew today because last week was one of our infrequent apprenticeship weeks where people come from all around the country to study with me in person and work toward a certificate in a hands-on apprenticeship in the work of hoodoo. We had about a dozen people, and that took 5 days, and of course, if people work more than 5 days, they have to do overtime. So all of our weekend people are off for the weekend because they came in and did their days during the week. So we're just barely hanging in. But when we have a lot of customers in the shop, and so everybody be patient, we'll get everything done. But it's been a lovely day. I've been signing books and meeting and greeting people. And now I guess that's all I have to say about what's going on here. The apprenticeship is over. We're starting to calm down. I hear some noise in the background, like someone's either moving furniture or cooking. And I'm going to bet $20 that was Candelo Cambisa. But I know I'll win that bet.
No, I'm not betting.
Nobody's going to bet against me. So before we bring him on, let him do what he's doing out there quiet. Let me say hello to Countryman Ali, my co-host.
Hello, Kat. It's glad to be. I'm glad to be on, and I would definitely not take that bet. I think you're right. I think he was shuffling his shells, perhaps. And it is, I got to tell you, it's pretty hot down here as well. So I have been doing my best to avoid the heat. All the blinds are drawn, the AC's on, the fans are on. So I have a nice little dark cave where I can work peace away from the dreadful heat.
And Countryman Ali, what kind of work have you been doing for clients this week?
You know, I've been doing quite a bit of success work, lots of people looking for mojo bags, which is always fun work to do. It's old-timey work. It gets your, you know, you get involved with roots and herbs, and you get your hands on things. So I enjoy doing that type of work and helping people achieve their desires. Lots of people looking for, hey, I'm starting school. Can I get a mojo bag that'll help me succeed? I have these qualification exams coming up. Can I have a mojo bag first? So lots of kind of success and victory. A couple interesting entertainment stuff too. People going for auditions. So it has been a lot of that, and I don't know what it is, but you know, the weather, if you will, this astrological weather, but I always end up getting them in patterns, right? So for me, the month of September so far has been all about success work. And they all come out of the woodwork, and they all come out at the same time, and they're looking for similar types of work. And you can, I pick up the phone and I talk to people, or I open an email, and you can almost see the thread spinning through each different person going, oh, yep, that's a theme. I know exactly what you're looking for.
Well, you know, it is funny how these things come in themes. It as it gets to be fall, first we go through the success people and the starting school people. And then on Thanksgiving, we're going to have all the protection and breakups. That's going to happen. It's just like clockwork. And then in the new year, we're going to have all the people wanting to start fresh after they've done their breakup and their mean thing at the Thanksgiving party.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it so many times.
You're so right.
Yeah, what we've been doing here mostly as far as the kind of work we've been doing, because of working with the apprentices, we had our herbs and candles and special washes and waters. So we packed 1,000 packages of herbs with all the apprentices.
Oh, wow.
If you can believe that, it's amazing. We labeled hundreds, I don't know, 500 candles, and then we made probably another 500 4-ounce bottles of special washes and waters, such as peace water, war water, Chinese wash, and so forth. So
that is a lot.
It's a lot, and the apprentices got a lot of instruction. They got a lot of history, but they made a lot of good stuff. And so if you order now, you'll get some that was apprentice-made. All right. Well, I want to bring on our special guest for tonight. And our guest should need no introduction because he's got his own popular radio show, but I will introduce him for those people who've never listened to his show. His name is Candelo Kimbisa, and as he says, he can be found at Everything Kimbisa, Kimbisa.org, Kimbisa.you name it. He's Mr. Candelo Kimbisa. And he has a radio show that's also on the LMC radio network called Candelo's Corner, and it's an intersection between different religious, spiritual, magical practices. It's a corner where he invites people on for talk about whatever traditions they came from, mostly folk magical and folk religious traditions, but he's been known to take a flyer out into the blue ether with all sorts of interesting guests. And also on that show, in addition to getting readings here on this show, Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, if you check your Facebook LMC Radio Network page, or you can check the Lucky Mojo page or Candelo's page, you'll find that besides Candelo's Corner radio show, there's also something called Readings on the Corner, and you can sign up for free readings there with a variety of new and well-tested and highly respected readers, and they read in all different formats. So it's a very interesting show. Come on in, Candelo, and say hello.
Salam alaikum, Miss Kat, Conjurman Ali, and Papa Newt. How are you? And thank you for having me back on the Lucky Mojo.
Glad to have you on.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. You're always a great guest, very popular guest. And shows that feature you as a guest are the ones that get played in archive more than some of the others. So people want to hear your ideas and thoughts. Now, what we have this time for our panel, and again for new listeners, we do a little panel discussion. I will introduce it. Our guest will then carry it down to the goal line. All right. So we're going to be talking about espiritismo tricks to return and bind a lover. Now, first of all, we got to define what espiritismo is, because and in the chat room, there is been posted, and I hope it get posted again by Papa Newt. There it is. Readersandrootworkers.org/wiki/category working within the spiritualist tradition. And all you got to do is go to readersandrootworkers.org and look for religious traditions and then working within the spiritualist tradition. And you'll find a very long, long, interesting, I hope, article written by mostly me and the late Dr. E. Eddie Gutierrez about what the spiritualist tradition is. Now, some people know about white spiritualist table wrapping, ladies from upstate New York, and some of them know about the black spiritual churches of Philadelphia, Chicago, and New Orleans, and Oakland, California. Some people think of it as what we call Kardecist, or the Kardecian spiritismo or spiritualism, popularized by a guy named Mr. Kardec. There is also a Mexican style of spiritismo, which involves a man who crafted this religion who was part Jewish, part Catholic, and part native Mexican Indian. And so that is a very unusual form of a spiritismo. There is also Espiritismo Cruzada, which is blended or crossed streams of Espiritismo. There is Sanse, or 21 Divisions Espiritismo, and I think that's where Candela is going to come at us a little bit. And all of these different Espiritismos and spiritualisms have one thing in common, and the thing in common is that spiritualism maintains as a tenet of belief that you can communicate with the dead, whether they be ancestors or family members that were not your ancestors or the dead in general. Espiritismo means you can communicate with spirits, in some cases spirits that never had life on earth, depending on which kind of espiritismo you practice. So even people like who belong to a religion that does not consider itself to be a spiritualist religion may have contact with angels, and yet angels are spirits. But generally, communication with the dead is what defines any form of spiritualism or espiritismo. So there's no one way to call that practice, but what Candela is going to bring to us is his family's traditions. So take it away, Candela. It's all yours now.
Well, first of all, I want to answer something that was in the chat room. Someone said, I thought that Candela doesn't do love work. And it's true. I do not do love work. But through my travels in all my eclectic initiations and things of that sort, I've been taught a lot of it. My godmother, Changodina, who I often talk about, was one of the best spiritualists I've ever known in my life. She was the type of person who would, you would go out to on the street, and she would start looking at someone. And all of a sudden, she would say, child, come here, let me tell you something. And it was a message from spirit. Oftentimes, she would either leave someone elated or bawling in tears. Her type of spiritualism was the Kardecian type of spiritualism. Yes, that was her type of spiritualism. And you know, at first when this type of spiritualism was around, it was very white. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I always found it funny that she would say, well, you know, this black spirit is speaking or this African spirit is speaking, because when this style first came about, they were very anti-black. A lot of people don't know this. They considered black spirits to be lesser than so-called elevated spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's very important to know. Okay? And she also practiced what we call a condom, or where we would all place hands on each other or stand around in a circle and actually do a type of seance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's why you hear people today see things like, you have such a wonderful spiritual cord. And when you see misas, and when you see misas, and when you see the glasses up on top of an ancestral bovida, there is different types of cups concerning different cords in your spiritual path. Meaning, the first one is for your main ancestors, your core ancestors, and the ones that are around them are for, let's say, tribes or lineages or kingdoms, as Ali would call it, or cords in your spiritual thing. And they come, as they say, in legions. Okay? those toys can go forever. Okay? So that's why I wanted to say that. Oh, and another thing is that she used to tell me, Candelo, as opposed to doing works and bindings and tyings and poems, which she considered dangerous, because she also told me that when you did a tying or a binding with Paulo, the only way you could break it was with blood.
Mm.
And a lot of people, yeah. So when I see these kinds of workings, and I think about this, when you tie somebody and bind someone with blood and with all these things here, a lot of times it's because of spite. It isn't because you want the person, or, you know, I will show this bastard he's coming back or she's coming back. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
When the person comes back, then you figure out the person is still the same asshole that he was when you let go, and you no longer want him. So the person now is chasing you around with like a dog, or like whatever it may be. So again, if it's made with blood, it would have to break up with blood. So that's the reason whenever I do take on a client in times or bindings or reconciliation, I work it with spiritualism.
You know, you just brought up something very interesting to me, and I'm going to throw a little comment in here. I've known a couple of good root workers, men, from the South, and they were from Louisiana, but not New Orleans, but from around, Baton Rouge and Lafayette, who would not do love-binding spells or return spells to bring a man back, because they felt women sought those spells too frequently. One of the men told me, I could make my whole living doing nothing but returning men to women. But to keep them, now he wasn't going to be using a Palo type thing, but he goes, to keep them, I'd have to do something so permanent and so dark that woman could never get rid of him again, even if he was a complete asshole. So I don't do it, because they often afterwards they go, what did I do that for? But now it's done. So he referred all love spells out to ladies, and he goes, let the ladies do the love spells for the other ladies. I'm not going to do it, because too many ladies change their mind when the man comes back and they don't like him after all.
Interesting. So that's what Chango Dina told me. And showed me how to break love spells, which is pretty damn hard, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty damn hard. But she says, she always told me, well, listen, I'm going to show you how to do these things just in case one day it happens to you and you see the symptoms or you feel it, you can actually break it, okay? Or when someone comes to you and tells you, Miss Candelo, this person, you know, something has to be wrong with me. You know, I'm following this woman around. She doesn't want to see me. It was fine at first. I can't see. I mean, she doesn't even look good. She doesn't cook good. I don't know what it is that this woman has done to me that I can't see. Believe you me, this has happened. And like I often tell people, 90% of the people that come to me are women. And the other 10% are men that are dragged in by the way. Okay. So yes, you know, like, you know, the mothers say, hey man, something's going on with my youngster. So I say, okay, well, let me see what's going on. But anyway, back to the spiritualism part of it. I noticed a lot of things that were similar in all the spiritualist camps. But then I saw the differences. Because, as you know, I went to somewhere in Central Florida, and I went to a spiritualist church in Central Florida. I can't remember the name of the church right now, but very different from what we know as spiritualism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because we don't put labels on, say, an empath, a this, a that, a that. No, you're a spiritualist, and you're a spiritualist. That's the way you see it. Although there is a type of initiation into spiritualism, or not an initiation, but let's say a coronation, where the spirits are placed on top of your head so you can stop, let's say, rolling on the floor and actually being able to manifest them, whether it be by mounting, or whether it be by feeling, or whether it be by sight. Okay? All fall under that one blanket term, spiritualism. There isn't different plethora of things, just the way that you work it, whether it be Mesa Blanca, whether it be Sensei, whether it be Kardecism, whether it be 21 Division. It is all spiritualism to us.
Well, you know, there are different forms of mediumship which come out of different cultures. The a very popular form of European mediumship, for instance, has the medium in a trance dictating to a secretary. And then there are those who will do automatic writing. There will those who speak and do not let anyone write it down, but they speak, but they may not remember what they said. And those who do remember what they said, there are mediums in which mediumship classes in which, not popular now, but used to be very popular, in which you take a young child, and basically the trance comes among the child, and the person receives the messages through the child. There are so many ways of this. We even would say that some people who call on spirits in some of the black and white spiritualist churches in the Judeo-Christian denominations of spiritualism, they might even refer to and call upon spirits in honor of and in recognition of the way that Jesus did. So there again, there's all styles. They're very different. But let's get to the topic here. Give us something that you learned, even though you don't do this work for others. I bet you've done it for yourself, though. But
am a tricky little bastard.
You are, Candelo. I know that. But give us some idea of one of the kinds of things that you were taught by your godmother.
Okay, I will do that. But before I do that, I also wanted to share that I had a conversation with a Southern gentleman, and he told me something about coffin services that they used to have back in the day, where someone would jump inside of a coffin and actually give out messages and numbers. And I was like, man, that sounds very similar to some of the things that are done in Spanish or Hispanic culture. Well, great.
That's
well,
right.
One of the things that my dear godmother showed me, Ibae, again, a very, very, very tricky woman, she would say, well, you know, all you need for someone to return to you is a single candle and two needles and certain herbs and something personal of the person. And I say, godmother, how could you do this? And she says, very simple. You grab yourself one of these candles from a store. One of these candles, one of these finger-type candles. I don't remember what they call them in English. They're called the finger-type candles, the three-inch ones.
Yeah, like an altar light or
an
household
altar
candle.
A household
small
candle.
Small chime candle, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Chime candle, yes. So she would tell me, and so that people can see it a little bit better, I would tell you, you know, I explain it a little bit more. But anyway, you would take this four-inch candle, you would write the person's name on it, okay? You would bathe it in Ven a mí, come to me, I can more than you, okay? Bend over, things of that sort. And you write these names on it with the person on it. And if you look at your finger, you can see that your finger has three spots on it, if you were to break it off into three spots, right? Three ways. So these two needles you would take and you would put one way right through where your knuckle would be, and then you put the other one opposite, breaking the candle up into three different sections. Okay?
Wow.
So if you were to look at it from the top, it would look like a cross.
Oh, you put one on one side and one on the other. Got it.
Yes, and you would be facing, and if you were looking at it from the top, it would have it in three different sections, but it would look like a cross, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what she taught me was you would take it and light it up on that first day, okay? And you would speak to that candle as though it was the person after christening the candle after the person's name. And you would speak to that candle, and you would continue to speak to it. Sweetie, I love you. I miss you. I want you back. Why don't you come back home to mama, whatever, or daddy, whatever it may be. That would have burned down into that first candle. You would take that first pin off, put it to the side, and turn off that candle. So you would do this for 3 days. On the second day, you would turn it back on and keep on with the same thing. Sweetie, I love you. I miss you. Why don't you come back home with daddy? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, mama, whatever it may be. You would speak to it as though you were speaking to this person. until it burned down to the top. Then you would pull out that one and put it one with the eye facing one way and the other eye facing the other way. You would put all both of the needles next to that. All right? Then on the third day, you would do the same thing. You would say whatever you would say to the candle until it burned all the way down to the bottom. Then you would take that wax, the little granular wax that's there, and you would cover both needles with that wax and bind it with red thread. As you're binding it with red thread, you're going to be saying the person's name and saying how much you want that person and how much they need to be with you. You would cover it up in a red flannel bag and wear it next to your crotch.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
And these are little spiritualist tricks that that she showed me so that I wouldn't have to always go to the gangas or always go to this or always go to that. Actually manifest magic.
Wow, that's a beautiful spell. That's really great. I'm gonna say something about this too, because this is very similar to a spell that I know, which uses a little red doll baby instead of a candle, and it also uses two needles. And you run one needle, usually when we think of doll babies, we think of cursing dolls with 13 pins or needles. This is just two needles. And you make a little red doll baby small, and you wear it on your body by your crotch. And you run one needle down from the head down to the genitals, and you run the other one across the arms to make a cross. Mm-hmm. And that doll is said to be crucified for love.
Well, and Miss Kat, I'm glad you brought that up, because you can also take the remaining wax and make a little doll out of it.
Wow!
I mean, it doesn't have to be anything elaborate. Just put a head on it, two arms, two legs, okay, and cover it with that thing, and just carry it next again to your genitals. I'm so glad you speak so eloquently, because I said crotch.
Well, you know what's particularly fascinating is that a candle sectioned off is also found in Zora Neale Hurston's work. She mentioned it about a candle that is segmented with needles you burn down. And this really goes to what fascinates me about spiritism and spiritualism, is that it's very simple in the way that it approaches things, but quite potent. A lot of the workings that come out of that don't require a lot of extra ingredients, a cup of water, a candle, a little bit of oil, and sincere prayers, and they work and move mountains. And I think a lot of people kind of forget that. And thinking with the idea that espiritismo or spiritualism can be used for something, sometimes I get the idea, especially with a lot of the kind of European strain, that it's only a form of divination, only a form of mediumship, only a form of connecting with the spirits of the dead. You ask the spirits of the dead, you work with them. One of the most famous kind of return to me spells out of the spiritualist church that is also popular in voodoo is placing someone's photo upside down under a bowl of water or a cup of water that you keep next to your bedside. And that is said to draw the person back to you because you speak through the water to that person. And that comes out of the spiritualist tradition and is adopted into old workings of voodoo.
Yeah.
Cup of water,
yeah.
Photo. And that's the way, these kind of simple ways of working are really at the heart of the spiritualist modus operandi, if you will.
Yeah. I just want to give a little shout out here to the chat room, because they got some good questions going on here. And folks, if you don't join our chat and only listen to these shows later, you can catch the chat logs at the Lucky Mojo Forum, and these chat logs have a whole lot of side talk that explains the spells and answers questions. But sometimes we're able to call them out. Vinky Trancho asked, is it baptized, Ms. Cat, the little doll I was talking about? You know, I don't know that it was baptized or not. I just saw how it was done, and I did not ask that question. You do it the way, what you want. You could baptize it, sure. Miss Michael said, if you made that little doll with the crucified needles, she said, I'd be worried about needle points poking out of that crucified doll. And I wrote back to her, for love one must suffer, and love hurts, and love can be dangerous. Love can be dangerous. So.
It is. I want to bring up one more thing because Ali brought up a good point about the water.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes we need, let's say, a dirt from an ancestor or whatever it may be. A lot of people do not know this, and I'm gonna go ahead and throw it out there. Okay, if you have an ancestral bovida or an altar, you can also use that water as a link to your ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
instead of getting the dirt, or instead of getting this, or instead of getting that, guess what? Grab a little bit of water from your bovida, from your altar, that is dedicated to your ancestors, and it is just as good as grabbing cemetery dirt or having an actual object of theirs. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got to remember, guys, that our body is made up of water. The same water that we drink now is the same water that that our ancestors drank and that their ancestors drank, and so on and so forth. So that's a good point, Conjurman Ali.
That's good.
In the Cyprionic work that I do with St. Cyprian, and I should, give a shout out to him. His feast day is here, is upon us, if you will. So for St. Cyprian, it's the water that you place as a cup of water to honor him. I learned a lot of the things that I'd learned about St. Cyprian from people who were also working in the Spiritismo. So there was a kind of blending of Curanderissimo, which is this tradition that is Mexican and focuses on kind of folk Catholicism, and the Spiritismo, this mediumship with the dead. And the way that they use the water for St. Cyprian is very similar that you find in the spiritual fact. So we would use the water to baptize things. You put out a cup of water for St. Cyprian. If you felt like you needed to uncross someone, you could dip your fingers into the water and then cleanse someone or bless someone with the water of St. Cyprian. So the idea that the water acts as some form of transmitting of spiritual power, and quite literally as a sort of spiritual fluid, if you will, is very much at the heart of what you do, which is why you find it in love spells, right? Place a photo of someone under a cup of water and speak to them. The water is able to connect to their spirit directly. Use that water to connect to the spirit of the dead.
Yeah, exactly. Well, before we get off into spirits of the dead and graveyards and stuff, which we kind of got a little diverted there, I'd like to go back to some of these love binding spells. And I would like to mention that somebody in Facebook posted at the Lucky Mojo Facebook page, oh, if you bring back a person against their will, if you force them to love you, that's spiritual rape. Well, I deleted their post because we just don't need that kind of stuff. But it's interesting to me that there are really people who will do this work and will not do it. Now, I'd like to hear, I don't call forcing someone to come back necessarily spiritual rape, no more than I call a border collie herding the sheep into a pen spiritual rape. You do what you do, and, the sheep belong in the pen, and you're going to bring them back and put them in the pen at the end of the day, right? And nobody says that border collie raped those sheep. So tell us another one. What's another idea that you got from Espiritismo for bringing back a lover?
Well, I got a hell of a doozy, but I'm going to leave that for the end, okay? I'm definitely going to leave that for the end because people are going to love this spell, okay?
Okay.
But I can tell you another trick that Changodina showed me. Okay, and it wasn't so much to bring back a lover, but it was to be able to get your lover to do things for you. Okay, let's say you have a lover that's a cheapskate, okay, who's not giving his all inside of the relationship, meaning he's not helping you out with the rent. He's not, when you want a pretty thing, he just doesn't want to give it to you. And you know that he has the ways to give it to you, okay? Changodina told me, well, this is what you're going to do, okay? And I told her, well, okay, Madrina, go ahead and tell me. She says, well, you're going to buy yourself a rue plant, okay? The rue that you shake up and it has the ruba, as we call it in Spanish. Some rock candy, the one that has all the colors, some rock sugar, okay? Some siempre viva, which means life everlasting, okay, and a couple of and a couple of cotton balls. And I told him, well, what does this have to do with
with anything. So she says, well, once the intended targets have sex, they have to bring you their sexual fluids. With that, you would pick up the plant. All right, you would put some money inside of there. You would put the sugar on top of there. You would put two or three dots of cinnamon, and you would put a little bit of holy water, and you would put that in there covered by money. And then you would put the plant back again. All right? And then every once in a while, you would tell the intended target, sweetie, could you put a little water in that plant for me? Could you move that plant for me from this corner to that corner? Could you do this? Could you do that? And little did the person, or little did the intended target know that he's feeding into his own demise. Meaning that the money that he has will suddenly start going into that person's pocket.
Now I'm going to ask you, is it a special kind of plant?
A ruda? No, the ruda that I'm speaking about.
Oh, rue. Ruda.
Ruda.
Okay.
Ruda. Yes, mm-hmm. Rue. Rue, which is considered for many Spanish people to be a protection plant, but also a plant that brings money.
For money. It's used exactly the same way in hoodoo. I just didn't understand that you were speaking Spanish. Ruda.
Oh,
Rue.
Ruda. Ruda.
Yeah. And so you're going to have him tending your rue plant, in which all this stuff is buried in the container, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to basically, like you said, every time he helps with that rue plant, he's actually training himself. He's ensorceling or magicking himself to become more obedient to you.
To you, yes. And it can be done for that, and it can be done for other things, with other plants, okay? But again,
right.
This is about making your lover, your husband, whatever he may be, contribute
mm-hmm.
a little bit more.
Yeah. Wow. That's really a good one. I like that a lot.
Imagine when I come up with my book, right, Miss Cat?
Yeah. Well, no, that's serious business. And it's a way of working that, again, there are parallels in hoodoo and there are things that are different. In hoodoo, we have some very nice buried plants, things buried under plants for other reasons. But I love that idea of telling him to water the plant, telling him, move the plant, honey, it needs a little bit more sun. Oh, put it over there. It's training him to be your magical provider and helper on a very deep level that he would not know and don't leave out the sugar, says Miss Michael. Miss Michael is always out there in the chat room. She's right. Don't leave out the sugar. She says, love spells work better when your target is happy to do your will. That is so true. She knows that one well. And I really love this kind of work. Now, we got a message in the chat room from Troll Towelhead Nagashiva, our chief engineer, and he said, we're extending our panel discussion tonight into our first client's time because our sign-ups did not call in on time, but we will take our second client from the sign-up who did. So we're going to just keep on going here. And
well,
that this does not happen often, but I always like it when it does. So let's go back to some more ideas. Now, one of the things that is famous in hoodoo, and I don't know if you have this in Espiritismo, is taking the measure of a man and tying knots in a string. Do you all have something similar to that? We have that in hoodoo.
Yes, ma'am. In hoodoo, and it's funny because one of my first conversations with Charles Porterfield, Professor Porterfield, was about strings,
mm-hmm.
okay, and how to knot up a person. And it was very similar to what we do in the Spinning Peaceful and those types of tricks, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Having sex with a person or with a man or with a woman and putting the string inside your mouth and then wagging it up with the semen and with your spit and just
mm-hmm.
in a loose knot and going off inside of the next room and calling the person,
mm-hmm.
saying, hey, John or hey, Jane. And when he answers yes, you close it real quickly. Therefore, closing up the person's sexual nature only for you.
Mm-hmm.
So the person would not be able to get and you know, get any satisfaction or get any. If for a man, he couldn't get an erection.
Right.
So it's very
right.
similar to what hoodoo and its priests will do. Okay. I remember also because it is full of tricks. I remember stealing your man's voice. Okay. Hey, honey. And putting it inside a jar. Okay. Knocking on the door or calling on the phone, and when the person's first hello would go, they would close it, and closing the person's voice. And also being able to work with the person's voice so the person could be able to speak to you more kindly and putting things of that sort, like sweetening herbs and do as I say and all those types of things.
That's a really interesting one. So let's go over that one again for people who want to talk about it. And Troll said, compare capturing jinns in bottles. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a way... to get someone's voice, either to keep it to shush them up or to use it
mm-hmm.
to get them to speak out like that they're going to propose a marriage. You're going to call them on the phone or speak to them in person, preferably from another room or where they cannot see your hands, and call their name, and when they answer, you just put them in the jar. Now, that is similar to one in hoodoo where you would also do the half a knot. Start the knot, and then you pull the knot, and that will capture their voice, too.
Mm-hmm. So
now, Ollie, I'm going to say something, because capturing jinns in bottles and jars is famous Arabic magic. Do you see a similarity there, or is there anything something similar as far as a love spell in the Arab world?
Yeah, there is. A lot of spiritism, a lot of it, especially in Cuba and a lot of these other places, has adopted a kind of syncretic approach, or an approach that blends quite a bit of different traditions. And there is some North African influence that has been brought to Cuba. You find it in Brazil as well. And so there are some connections there. In fact, some of the spirits are often in the spiritismo seen as Arabic. They
mm-hmm.
come wearing turbans, and they're now, that's a particular legion of spirits that they refer to. But yeah, you find it in general, capturing there are love workings that involve that, but usually involves fire as well. So heating up the jar to make a person hot for you. But what I want to mention is the notion of binding, right? Because it is very
mm-hmm.
different than return, right? Returning someone to you is saying, come back, return. Love
mm-hmm.
binding someone is making them yours now forever, right? It's a form of spiritual joining together, and it is very different. And I think one of the oldest and most famous forms of kind of binding that is found both in Espiritismo and in Hoodoo as well, and a variety of different traditions, involves two needles that are tied together and then placed in either under the bed or in an underwear drawer, and that it keeps two individuals together as lovers.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those kind of ubiquitous spells that you find in Europe, in hoodoo, in Espiritismo, and it is very different from this idea of come to me, or where have you been, you know, where you place the photo under a cup of water, it's about to draw that person back to rekindle memories. This is about binding two people together, keeping them together, two needles tied together and placed under the bed. Now, people say that has to be certain type of needles, that you have to do something with the needles, that they have to be anointed or dressed. Some people just say, no, just two virgin needles bound together with red thread and kept in a sock drawer.
That's a great old-fashioned way to work. Some people will also take two socks or two pairs of underpants. In the chat room, Jai Dania says, there is a popular Yoruba magic, and I have to explain, he is from Africa because I happen to know him, a graduate of my course. There is a quite popular Yoruba magic that involves a woman washing her privates and then capturing the water, then using that water to cook vegetable soup in which she normally feeds the man with her fingers. Okay? Isn't that tight. That's a good one. And I will say something else, that this goes to something which I was taught out of Louisiana called panty soup, in which a lady has a period and she, instead of using a pad, she just lets a little of the blood on her panties and she cooks her panties in the soup stock and then fishes them out and serves the soup.
Well, and amazingly, that's why a lot of people in the Spiritismo and Yoruba and Palo will not have their women make anything with tomato sauce.
That's right. That's right.
And
I'll tell you, there's a Jamaican version of this, which also comes right out of Africa, which is made with beans and tomato sauce, like baked beans that you buy or chili beans that you buy canned. You basically take the woman's takes a tampon, and she stirs the beans with the tampon that she has used to bind the man, and he will always be eating her cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of those, boy. Those are good, and those are found all around the world, but I think they are found more often in areas that are in the tropical areas. They come out of Africa, those types of spells. They have spread into Europe. You'll find
mm-hmm.
them in Europe to a certain extent. But the farther north you go, the less you see those particular spells. And people become a little squeamish about them. But my mm-hmm. own so-called Sicilian grandmother, who was actually of Moorish descent, as DNA proved out, but she told me how to do the exact same thing that he was just gave as a Yoruba tradition, and not feeding him with the fingers, but washing yourself and using that for your spaghetti water, right? So these things get around the world, but they do seem to come out of African traditions.
Well, mm-hmm. and there's one more thing I wanted to share, guys. That Chango Dina showed me, my godmother. The working of patchouli, okay, when it comes to relationships. Because as you know, patchouli is a controlling thing, so you can be able to hold on to things, but it also calms down certain things. My godmother once, I was having a big spiff with my then girlfriend, and I was pretty much done with it. Anybody who knows me, I'm a Libra. I do not like to constantly argue. That's not one of the things that I like to do. And she says, "Well, do this." And I says, "Okay, what am I to do?" She says, "Well, take a little piece of patchouli and put it up under her pillow, and that'll calm her down." Well, guess what? It actually did. And then she says, "Well, you want her to feel a little sorry for you." And I says, "Well, feel sorry for why?" "Oh, well, because, this will make, it'll mend things, and then she'll start feeling sorry for you. And, the relationship will go fine." I said, what I need to do? She says, "Take some coffee grounds after they're already made and put them up under your arm." And I said, "Put them up under my arm, what is it going to do?" It brought on a fever. Okay?
Hmm.
It brought on a fever. So all of a sudden, I'm sick. I need this. I don't want to argue no more. "Hey, baby, what's wrong? Hey, let me take care of you," as opposed to "let me argue with you." So those are the kind of tricks that she would show me.
Wow. So you got her to tend to your ills.
Yes, even though it was a self-imposed ill.
that's great. That's really great. That's a good one. I love that. Well, I'll tell you one as far as calming down a lover and binding a lover. This one comes out of hoodoo now. A lot of times women are compared to snails because they're gooey and juicy. And so a man who wants a woman to slow down and not be always running around, maybe not go out with other men, maybe stay home or maybe just keep her temper down, just slow that woman down, and also maybe make her last longer in bed if she doesn't have the stamina in bed that he wishes she had, he will take a snail, a live snail, and while she's asleep, he'll kind of run that snail over her pussy. And I hope not to wake her up, because, my God, she wakes up and she goes, "Jimmy, what are you doing with that snail in my crotch?" But, but anyway, he takes that snail, and then he kills the snail by baking it alive in the oven. and then grinds it to a powder, and he can put that powder either on her, in her food, or whatever, and that woman will always be slowed down and will not run around anymore.
Wow, Miss Kat. This is a trip, because I think I've told you this story before, okay? The
mm-hmm.
way that we get people to do things for us is actually with a snail. You take a snail and you boil it or cook it,
mm-hmm.
and you chew it just before you go and speak to someone.
Mm.
And the person will have a very hard time telling you no. Now, I mean, it sounds nasty, and a lot of people will be like, you can't do this. Yes, you can. People eat escargot all the time, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
But it's,
mm-hmm.
it was an old trick that Changodina showed me in how to go to job interviews and maybe even talking someone out of their pants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With a snail, with a cooked snail.
Yeah. Well, there's a mean one you can do too, where you can take the snail, and this is kind of mean. If you have a lady that you don't like, and the lady's been running around, and you want to give her a disease, it won't necessarily give her a fatal disease, but it's going to give her a sexual disease, like some sort of an infection. You take the snail and you waft it over, get it on her. You got to get her. She's got to be asleep, and you got to get that snail on her, and then that snail really basically has herself on that snail, and then you just pack that snail up with red pepper, and put it in a box of like powdered red pepper, like paprika powder or cayenne powder, and the snail will die in there, and that snail will give her a burning crotch. She will have a burning yeast infection or chlamydia or something.
Wow.
What's fascinating is you see all the, despite the fact that these are very different traditions, so there are a lot of similarities. I met a man in Florida once, long time ago, who taught me about kind of using snails as a binding of a lover. And it's the same thing. You use the snail, place it on her vulva, you powder it. But what you do is you take, once you've powdered it, you mix it with some form of stay with me, love me powder, and then you stuff it into a cowrie shell that you then block up with some wax or clay and then keep with you. And so long as you have that cowrie shell, because cowrie shells are also believed to represent a woman's sex, so long as you have that cowrie shell, she can have sex with you and you alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a good one, too, stuffing it in a cowrie shell. Now another thing that we use a lot when we're talking about knot spells to tie up somebody, I was taught a long time ago that if you wear a knot made on a man's, the length of a man's penis, and you can either put one knot or three knots or seven knots or nine knots or however many long his penis is, as many knots as you want, but if you wear that pinned inside your underpants, he can't basically get out and go with any other woman. In other words, you don't just keep such a knotted spell. Oh, you could put it in a nation sack. That's another way to carry it. But a lot of women don't even put it in a nation sack. They'll just put that knotted string in their pants and, again, let themselves bleed on it a little bit. And that keeps him knotted and tied up with you. He can't get away.
Another particularly good one, and this also comes out of the Gutismo tradition, is about getting someone to call you and to come back to you. And it is similar to Candelo's first spell, so maybe coming all the way full circle, is you take a small chime candle, you anoint it with come to me oil, light it, and then you take I was told to take a needle, or you take a pin, but if you take a pin, make sure that it's a red pin, and you hold the needle in the flame and call out to that person, call their name, speak to
mm-hmm.
them as if they're there, so-and-so, I prick your conscience, I prick your thought, you missed me, you don't have any rest until you come back to me, call me wherever you are, you're thinking of me, and then you take the kind of warmed-up pin and you stick it into the candle and let the candle burn down. You take the wax and you're supposed to place it under your doormat along with the pin. And I've had clients do this, or I've done this for clients, and the person will practically show up on your doorstep. Very simple looking,
mm-hmm.
straight up, but it's really, really powerful. Just a pen and a candle, and it goes, really goes to the heart of how simple a lot of these workings are, but done with the right intent, with the right focus, they move mountains.
Yeah, well, you know, that's that one here of having someone return to you. Now I'm going to ask Candelo this. If you need someone to call you, is there any special herb or root? Like we use tobacco in hoodoo, mm-hmm. and I believe the use of it comes from Native American use, that the tobacco will call a person's spirit and they will return to you, even going so far as to put tobacco snuff or unburned tobacco in your mailbox. Have you ever heard of anything like that in Espiritismo?
I have, but with something that we call Ven a mí, come to me, okay, which mm-hmm. is actually a tree or an herb, as you want to call it. Because mm-hmm. what we do is we'll take it and put it inside a person's shoe, a sock, or something of that sort, and bury it inside of our front yard. Okay.
What is that herb?
It's called Ven a mí, come to me. I can't tell you what it's called in English. I'm sorry, my translations are totally bad when it comes to that. But
oh,
I know it's called.
Oh my gosh.
it's a tree, if I'm not mistaken.
It's a tree, yes. It's called Ven a mí, come to me. Okay? Mm-hmm. But if you cannot find Ven a mí, okay, you could also get something like what other tree would I use? Well, I would use honeysuckle. I love honeysuckle for things of love and for bindings and things of that sort. Okay? So it could easily be replaced with honeysuckle.
Uh-huh. Okay. In the chat room, Nagashiva says, we looked this up before, and I think he's right. We did look up Ven a mí, and it is a tree, and we don't remember the name. We're going to have you write a book, and it's going to have a glossary, Candelo. It's going to have these Spanish names and the English names. And Conjurman Ali is saying, it's Apollo, a stick. Yeah, but which one?
I'm going to recall. Maybe I'll get out while we're doing readings.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's funny because, you know, you learn things in one form, because I'm pretty sure that Ali has learned, well, Ali is more learned than me, but has learned things from the Arabic culture. And it just sometimes does not have a translation into English.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm saying here, it seems that it says Ven a mí is a flowering ornamental pear. Then someone else says it's an olive. I have no idea. We're going to have to look this up. And I beg everyone's pardon. It's just one of these things. Truly, there is a lot to learn from other cultures. And and I love it. I really do. And we do need that Spanish-English dictionary of magical herbs, Candelo.
Yes.
But we do need that. There's so many things that are loved and in used in Afro-Caribbean magic that we can get here in America if only we knew. If only we knew.
And if you lived in any of these places.
Yeah.
Music has come on.
All right, well, here's our music, and that means we're going to break and we're going to go do some reading. So let's get ready for a reading.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, and this week's special guest, Candelo Camisa, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you'll be available on the air. We'll be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is calling in from area code 267. This is Tahira. Tahira, are you there? Hello?
Hi, hello.
Welcome back to the show, hon. I do remember you from calling in back in May of 2015, and you're calling on a completely different situation. Is that correct?
Yes.
Oh, certainly. I see you have not had any private readings with Contramana Lee or Miss Cat on this situation or any other readers. And she writes, I need some clarity on a situation that's been bothering me for over a year regarding an older man that I met overseas a few years ago. I was told to do a cut and clear on this person, but I have my reasons for not doing so or thinking about it until now. When I initially did the spell work, it got screwed up with others meddling. How off is the spell, and how can I off rivals? Turning back to you, Miss Cat.
Oh, honey. So let me see if I understand. You said when you did the original spell, this was not a cut and clear. You did some other kind of a love spell. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Can you quickly describe that spell to us? What was it?
I just used my mentor breath. I really didn't know what I was doing. I used a pink candle and a purple candle. And some of my blood. I forgot what I wrote on both of them, but for whatever reason, it just hasn't really worked out in my favor. Like, some stuff has happened, but nothing he hasn't physically manifested just yet.
Okay, so, and this was how long ago?
Technically 2 years ago.
2 years. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you the first thing before I even read for you. Don't wait 2 years. Because time is passing and slipping into the future, as the old song has it. And if a spell does not work in a goodly amount of time, don't listen to those people who tell you, oh, just trust in the spell, it will manifest. That would be the same as if you went to a doctor and he said, well, I believe I can cure you of this disease. Uh-oh. We're going to have to mute our client here. I think we've got something bad going on. You go to a doctor and he says, well, I can cure you if this, just take these pills. And I want you to take them for 30 days and I want you to take 3 pills a day. And you take them for 30 days and 3 pills a day and you're still sick. You'd go right back to your doctor. But this thing doesn't happen with spell work. People say, well, I did it. It's going to have to manifest. It'll manifest later. So I would just tell you that, yeah, that didn't work, but that's so long ago, we can't even read on that spell that you did or what was screwed up about it. Or was it screwed up, or did you have an enemy, or did you do the wrong spell, or did you not concentrate? We don't know. We're just going to have to let that go. So right now, you were told to do a cut and clear on this man, but you did not do it, but now you're thinking about it again. All right. Let's see where we go. So I'm going to put out 3 cards. And I'm going to tell you, it's about time to do that cut and clear spell. Card number 1 I have is the 10 of Wands. And that's a card called Exhaustion. And it shows a man who is carrying 10 long sticks, like they might be beam poles or they might be roof rafter poles for his house. And he's carrying these 10 sticks, and he cannot make any headway or progress. 10 of Wands, a card of exhaustion. This has been going on too long. You haven't got what you wanted to. And it's a card that says either you have to throw down and release all of the things that are causing troubles and just start fresh, or you really have to give up the job because this has gone on for a long, long time. Card number 2 is a card called the Star. And the Star is a beautiful woman pouring water out of 2 pitchers or jugs of clay. And with one hand, she pours water into a pool, and with the other hand, she pours water onto the grass. And some little flowers grow, but about half that water falls back into the pool. And so we call this one Giving for the Sake of Giving. It's a card of faith. It's a card of hope. It's a card of generosity. but it does not always produce results. And what this says to me is that you may have enjoyed everything you did to make this love affair work, but it probably, what you got out of it was the pleasure of being in love, but you did not get a return but on about one-fourth of what you put into it. So it's not a great card as far as making a material success, but spiritually it is a card that enhances your compassion, your ability to be a giving person, and your unfoldment as a beautiful woman. However, it's not a card that says this guy is the right guy for you. And the third card is a kind of a funny card for a card reader to get. It's called the Five of Cups. And this is a card that tells me you won't listen to what I say anyway, but I'm going to go ahead. Did I hear someone laugh back there who knows what the Five of Cups is? Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Five
of Cups over here, too.
You're
touching something there.
Okay. Five of Cups is a person wrapped in black, crying. Three cups have spilled out, and this person is crying over the spilt cups. Behind them, there are two cups unspilled. You may not yet be ready to move on. You still may be looking at this situation. But this one says three down and two to go. You don't have many more options here in this relationship. And I would just say that water has passed under the bridge. There's a bridge on this card and a river. Water under the bridge, time is not going to flow upstream and go backward. And it may be that you cannot make something out of this relationship, but there is a process of grief to go through, and there is some introspection. And these are not the happiest cards, and I'm not trying to laugh at you, sweetheart, but I'm saying here, take this as a lesson of what you've learned about your own capacity to give love and move on. Whether you cut and clear or not, learn about yourself and your own capacity to give love, to be a person of great compassion and generosity, but it's time to let this one go. That's my reading. Let's see what Candelo has to say.
Just a short little prayer before I start. I like to do this. Salam alaikum alaikum salam. 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 Young lady, I got to tell you something. The first thing that I got with you was Kalunga, the ocean, the depths. Things that have to do with a lot of mystery. Okay. I got to tell you, sweetie, and this letter, the first thing it tells me is what is gone does not return. Okay. Meaning that there is no fix up. There is nothing that you'll be able to do to be able to get this person back. Okay. But I got to speak a little bit about you, sweetie, because I'm gathering that you've either delved into or tried to get into doing readings or spiritual work, because this thing tells me that you already know, okay? You're dealing with, I don't know if you're a reader, if you once in a while pick up the cards or throw the bones, but there is something in me that tells me that you already know, okay, that you should be doing spiritual work, that just not for this, okay? You waste your time on things that are not going to give you anything. You're spreading seeds on things that are not going to give you any actual growth, okay? It tells me that you are a person that is in love with the thought of love, but have never received it, okay? But I've never received it. You also, I'm going to tell you that a lot of people think that you're a little bit, you know, nutty or crazy, okay? But in reality, you're not, okay? So as far as this relationship goes, sweetie, I do not see it leading anywhere. Again, I get a lot of mysteries. But it also tells me, sweetie, in this thing, that you can be a person that cheats or a person that's cheated on. So I don't know if either you are messing with someone else or talking to someone else or he's doing it, but someone in this in this relationship is actually seeing someone else. Okay? Well, that's all I have to say about that. But I tell you, sweetie, that there is someone in line for you. Okay? There is a man that comes up to you. He is going to be a person that's older than you. I know that you like people that are older than you. But if you haven't met him already, he's in your path. But I think you already know this person, okay? And you have, as they call, the friend zone him. Okay? All right. That's all I have to say about that.
All right. Well, thank you, Candelo. Let's see if Ali can give Tahira some root work. And I have to say here in the chat room, we've had a few kibitzers. Susan Barnes said something. Her name alone is very powerful, and that is true. Gia said, in her defense, we all give people the chance. And mm-hmm. Oniki Muse says, casting her pearls among swine. So we all feel this, especially some of us ladies here in the chat room. We've done this before, and we're not going to mock you over this. One of the things you learn in a hopeless love situation is you learn your own depth of capacity for love. So let's turn this over to Ali, and he's going to give us some ideas of root work that you can do.
Yeah, I think you've gotten some fantastic readings here. You've tied yourself up in knots over this situation. And, you know, that Five of Cups is pretty prominent in Kat's reading. It also came up when I was following along. I always pull cards even if I don't read, just so I can follow along. And you have tied yourself a bit in a knot. This is a man who's far, far away, but who still is able to influence you. And so there are three separate workings that I want you to do. I'm not sure whether you did this menstrual working on him or what, but I want you to do a working that will undo it. So there are three things. First, I want you to go to a river, get yourself a new knife. You are going to urinate on the blade of the knife, cut your urine stream with the knife. Some people stab the knife into the ground with the blade upwards and then urinate on that into the river. This will cut any type of sex binding, love binding that you may have inadvertently done. And if you're holding on to this thing for 2 years, I do want you to do this. You're going to then walk away from that without looking back. You need to undo that. So take the knife, urinate on it, leave it there, and walk away without looking back. You are then going to get some incense. You're going to get healing incense, uncrossing incense, love incense. And you are going to mix it together. You are going to burn it in your house, smoking your house room to room, clearing out anything that may be holding you back. You're then going to take a little bit of it and you're going to burn it on your doorstep. So leave the thermal sensor, whatever you have, you place it on your doorstep and you just let the incense burn on your doorstep. Take the ashes and dispose at a crossroad. So you've gone to a river and now you've gone to a crossroad. Finally, you're going to conclude with a bath, and I'm going to give you my go-to bath for love on crossing. I've repeated it on the radio show over and over again, but I think it is ideal for this situation. You want milk and you want honey. You're going to draw yourself a bath, put some milk into the bath, put honey into the bath. I want you to brew rue, rose petals, and violet leaves into a tea. Pour the tea into the bath of milk and honey, and you can cover the top with some rose petals if you'd like. And allow yourself to soak in this. This is a very powerful bath. It's cleansing. It's uplifting. It will not only undo the kind of Five of Cups situation you put yourself in, but it will open yourself up to the love that Candelo saw. So that there is someone already there, nearly there, and this bath will help bring that about. I want you to do this over 7 days. Every day, make sure that you air dry, make sure that you soak, make sure that you stay in there for a little bit, air dry, gather a bit of the used bath water, and you're going to sprinkle it at your front door. 7 days, okay? It's very important that you do this, not just once, but 7 days. You can repeat this as many times as you'd like or as many times as you feel it's needed. Some clients will continue to take this bath once every few months. It's a good kind of, you know, maintenance bath, touch-up bath that helps you to move on, helps you to feel beautiful and loved, and keeps your heart open to new, you know, new possibilities coming your way. I want you to do it in the order that I recommended. Start with the knife working, then do the incense working, and then do the bath working. If you do this, I sense that this will help to get you out of the situation you found yourself. Heal the hurt that you've gone through. Help to kind of cut away the pain and then move forward. That's my recommendation. We have a few minutes, so I think that gives us time to see if Candelo or Miss Cat would like to add anything to this particular working based off of the readings that they had.
Thank you. Thank you, Ollie. Before I turn this over to Candelo, I missed, and in the chat room everybody missed, what your three incenses were. We had that one was healing, one was uncrossing, and what was the third incense?
Love me.
Ah, love me. Okay, thank you. Yes, all right, let's turn this over to Candelo now. He wanted to talk to the client.
Well, I wanted to know if the young lady was a reader or was trying to get into reading or something like this. Yeah, because under Kalunga, the person is very spiritual, okay? And they have a lot of mysteries with them. I wanted to know whether or not she was reading and what she's doing actually to try to make this actually grow a little bit more. Tahira, are you there with us?
I'm still here.
Are you a reader, love?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Well, I would tell you to please go over to the Lucky Mojo shop and find you something to be able to try to divine with, because I think that you would be an excellent reader someday.
Okay? I hear what you're saying, and I think this is a very interesting point. Sometimes a reading brings out something about a client that they don't know themselves or have never considered. And although you say you messed up that spell and you didn't have follow-through on it, in my opinion, the reading that Candelo did for you indicated that you may have some kind of psychic talent or ability. May I ask what your sign of the zodiac is?
But I'm a Scorpio ascendant and a Taurus moon.
So wait a minute, what's your sun sign?
Cancer.
Cancer with Scorpio ascendant and Taurus moon. Oh, yes. That's interesting because I would say that you might well be a reader, and scrying might be a good way to work for you. Working with water would be a good way. Direct spiritual reading is often very good for Cancer. A card of the tarot card deck that would represent you well would be perhaps the Queen of Cups or the Page Princess of Cups. And I would recommend you look into scrying. Okay? Okay. Well, here's our music, and we're going to go back to our recorded announcements, and then we're going to come back with a free spell from Candelo.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Candela's Corner, starring Candela Cambisa and Michael Correll, Mondays 5 to 7. The Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, starring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays 6 to 7. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And now it's time for our free spell segment with Candelo Cambisa of Cambisa.org in West Palm Beach, Florida. Take it away, Candelo.
Hi. Well, thank you. Thank you for the wonderful introduction, Papa Newt. Thank you. Often, when doing works or telling people to do works, I just when people come to me for love work, I tell them to go ahead and try this spell or to do this spell. Okay. Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali and Papa Newt all know that I like to use things that are inside my cupboard or inside my refrigerator for work. So what we do for this particular spell is grab 4 household eggs. 4 household eggs of cup with water. And then you take the 4 eggs and you anoint them once with holy water, 2 with come to me oil, 3 with dominating oil. Okay? So you take these things and you make the sign of the cross on all 4 eggs. Okay? On 1, you will take and christen after your intended target, saying in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, whichever way you want to do it, you will christen that egg in the name of that person. Once you've done that, you will go to your intended target's house or block. Because a lot of times you don't want to do it right around their house because you don't want to be seen while you're doing whatever it is that you're doing. So you will go around their block, their neighborhood block, wherever that is. No matter how big it may be, you would place 1 egg on 1 corner, going clockwise. You place 1 on 1 corner, then on the 2nd corner, then on the 3rd corner. So what you're building there is you're putting 3 guardians up on each corner. But the corner that is leading towards your home, you will leave open, making it a straight pathway so he cannot go anywhere but towards your home. The 4th and final egg goes inside your home, inside of that cup of water. Remember that day you have named or have christened after that person. So then you take it, and every night or every day, no matter how much time you may have, you will speak to that egg as though it was that person. You would say, honey, come back home, or honey, I love you. Nobody loves you more than me. Look how I take care of you. Look how I take care of this egg. In doing so, you'll build a better relationship with him, and he'll start to dream and think about you more often. And there's no other place he can go because, guess what? You have the 4 corners closed up except for that corner that is leading towards your home.
Wow.
After a couple of weeks, when the egg starts to change or the water starts to change, you will take that egg and break it on one of the corners that was already closed, replacing it with a new egg until that person comes back to you.
Wow.
And believe you me, this spell does work. And it was taught to me again by my wonderful godmother, Changodina. And I have never, ever had a client tell me that it doesn't work. But you repeat it until it happens, until it manifests what you want.
Wow.
That's fantastic,
wow.
Yeah.
So this is kind of, remember we, I said something and I almost read your mind there, Candelo. Remember that I said that somebody in the Facebook said that forcing someone to love you is rape. And I said no more than a border collie forcing some sheep into a pen. And what you've created here is a pen.
Is a pen. Yeah, that's true. That's
you've created
true.
A pen with these eggs that the person cannot escape from unless but that they come unto you into your house. That is beautiful. And you would repeat this. You heard them, basically, into into it. And I would say, I would just add from my own understanding of how magic works, because I know someone's going to ask, well, Miss Kat, well, Candela, which egg do you break the other egg at? Which corner? I would just start clockwise the way you started. So that will, if it's 2 weeks per egg, per 4th egg, that would give you 2, 4, 6 weeks mm-hmm. of working that spell. Gia asked, is it a raw egg? I believe you said, yes, it is a raw egg.
Yes, it is a raw egg. And it brings me back to thinking about what Conjure Man Ali said about speaking into the water. Okay, mm. That's why you put it into the water. Again, one of our last shows, Ms. Kat, when you asked, you know, what do you use when you don't have anything else? Remember, the conversation led to water. And I love the way that Conjure Man Ali said it. And Conjure Man Ali, a lot of times, almost reads my mind, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, because there's been many of times when we set up a topic and all of a sudden Conjure Man Ali says it, and I'm like, damn, dude. I mean, it's like he's exactly what it is that we're speaking about.
Yeah.
I've got to say, this is a fantastic work. Love it. I love the idea. And there's also, in some ways, you can see the impulse of it also in hoodoo, where you do a similar thing, not where you create a pen, but where you go to the person's house and then bring them back to you. You do it with powders, right? Old school working, you put powders on their doorstep, and then you keep a little bit of it that you walk back home, and the last bit you put under your bed. So this idea of literally creating a connection, here you're doing with an egg. I love that. It's great, powerful, powerful work.
Yeah, exactly.
Ms. Kat, I wanted to share something with you. One of my Facebook friends says that Benami is also called Parami, and it's called Hamilia Patton.
That's hummingbird bush, I believe.
Okay, can you spell that out?
Okay, yes. Hamiliapatens.
Okay, good, but I'm going to have to figure out what that is. Spell it out in the chat room, somebody, and we can look it up then. Hamilia, is that what it is?
Hamilia Patens.
Patens, here it is. I found it. Hamilia Patens, a large perennial shrub or small tree in the coffee family, the Rubiaceae. It only grows in the subtropics and tropics. It will grow in Florida. It's also called firebush, scarlet bush, hummingbird bush.
There you go.
In the matter family. So here we go. And it's all over Wikipedia. Everybody's got it. Thank you so much for identifying that. And all righty. Well, let's bring this show back to the dock after our sweet voyage on the ocean. And let's turn this over to Papa Newt.
Thank you, Ms. Kat and Conjure Man Ali, and thank you, Candela Combisa of Combisa.org in West Palm Beach, Florida, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when we'll have another special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers. We'll be Miss Mike Hill of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California, discussing old-time spells that you can use today. Once again, we've come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjure Man Ali at conjuremanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Papa Newt. Always lovely to have you here. And folks, Papa Newt is available at papanewt.com. And don't forget him. He's our announcer, but he's also our great friend and supporter. And he is a wonderful reader, and he also maintains an online shop. Conjureman Ali, thank you so much for being our
always
co-host.
Always a pleasure.
And you're available at?
ConjureManAli.com.
But of course, ConjureManAli.com. And Candelo, thank you so much for bringing all of this wonderful espiritismo and Afro-Caribbean folk magic to us. And
definitely
where can people
find
you?
Definitely one of my favorite guests.
Thank you, Ms. Kat. And I will be in D.C. this following weekend and in L.A. from the 14th to the 19th of October.
All right. That's it then, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Salaam alaikum.